Well, welcome to the online service message for Father's Day, Trinity Sunday. Wow, it's so many things come together on this day. Tina is having a fishing tournament to raise money for the Leukemia Foundation. There is all kinds of things always going on. And then they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Wow, God's house. Did you know Bethel means God's house? Now, I was always thinking when I heard that, that is really a neat thing. It kind of gives you both pastoral comfort and a kind of a theological time to think about God's house. Because most of the Old Testament is shaped by incorrect human assumption that God lived exclusively in a specific location, you know, like in the temple, and that you had to be in proximity to God. And we had to go to that location. Now, the never-ending Middle East battles over the years, over that little tiny strip of land near the Mediterranean Sea that we call Israel, is very similarly shaped by some of the same assumptions. God cannot be contained within four walls and a roof. Now, how do we know that? Well, the scripture says God made everything. And King David wrote a lot of the Psalms, and he wrote Psalm 139, and I want to share with you verses 7 through 10. This is what he said. God made everything. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, you are there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Wow. God's simply too much to be in a little house, isn't he? Well, the Psalms remind us that not even the entire universe with all its galaxies, and it can't even contain God's majesty. Now, I think, and that's all I do is think, I'm a thinker, I don't know much of anything, but I think that might be what Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples in the scripture that we are reading for today. And as he prophesies about the coming of the Holy Spirit and his relationship to the Spirit and to the Father on this, what we call Trinity Sunday, he tells them that he has taught them all that he can for now, because more than this and their heads would explode. Well, that's my analogy, not his. It'd simply be too much truth for them to handle. Well, the Holy Spirit that will be coming upon them, he was explaining to them, would guide them, would teach them, would to illuminate the truth, and to give them gradual ways that will lead them in right directions. Now, he made sure to add that this Spirit would be his Spirit, the Spirit of the living Christ. The Spirit cannot speak on its own, he said. It can only relay what Jesus wants to say. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. If you ever had someone try to explain a complex math problem or a philosophical dilemma, something that kind of makes your brain hurt, in Italian, we might put our heads up and say, okay, basta, basta, basta. Or in New York language, enough already. Well, interestingly, this is the kind of word that Jesus uses in John to explain what we have, we're not ready to comprehend it. He said, I still have many things to tell you, but you can't handle it now. I like to go to movies occasionally. There's a few movies that I really enjoyed, and one of them was My Big Fat Greek Wedding. It was most humorous elements of the film when that Greek father constantly saying in the midst of his daughter's rolling eyes, he would say, give me a word, any word, and I will show you how the root of that word is Greek. Well, that works for the Italian word basta also. In its Greek root, it's actually bastina. The word John uses here in the passage, basthēnō, is a Greek verb, which simply means to tolerate, to handle, to bear, to endure, comprehend, sustain mentally, or even carry as a burden. Now, I know enough of Greek to get in trouble. I know enough of English sometimes to get in trouble. So my Greek and my Latin and all that might be not too good. But this is what I do know. Some things about God and Jesus are simply over our head. Jesus' time with them come to a close. And as we know from last week on Pentecost Sunday, so much more was still to come. But even today, we need the Holy Spirit in order to try to wrap our heads around God. The identity of Jesus, his appearance on the earth, his ascension into heaven, and more importantly, his resurrection. God's truth, God's grace, and God's all-inspiring creation. Look around. You know, when you step outside, look up. Take a good look around you. And take the things of this world and just look at them. We take it for granted in our lives. Look at the beautiful sky and at night the stars. And all of that stuff now has become just familiar to us. But if you take a look at all the things that make up this world, the delicate balance of things are placed within the mysterious, the universe, and even unknown of science and even ourselves. Think about how we are made and how all the things in our the heart, the nerves, the this and the that. We still have so much that we cannot possibly fathom about God and God's relationship with us. The extremity of God's passion for us in creation. It's mind-boggling. So what do we know? And what becomes all important on this Trinity Sunday is the extent of our faith. You see, we cannot see, we cannot imagine mentally or comprehend or handle. That becomes the essence of our faith sometimes when our own limitations bind us. What do? We trust in God. Confidence and faith are synonymous in Jesus and in the Holy Spirit that he sent to guide us in this life and beyond. To teach us to follow, even though we might not understand. Not even, we don't know the destination sometimes. But unlike God's mysterious message to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, with the writing on the wall, Belshazzar's feast, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us not as a prophetic warning, but as a loving Savior who will guide us on the paths to take. The mission to uphold, the truth to embrace, and the revelations to recognize in our midst. And now we enter into the season of Pentecost. A season that will run in our church year from now all the way into the fall. We'll be talking about this, the coming of the Spirit, and how it means and what it means for our life. And we'll be giving time to learn and to trust in the Spirit of Christ, to honor His truth, to become aware of God's presence around us, and to accept and discern our mission as disciples and the church where our community lies, and even beyond. That's why we spent so much time in Holy Spirit school. We needed to understand all this, didn't we? And we probably still don't understand it, but we know that it's real. Because the more we pay attention to the teaching and the guidance of the Spirit, the more Christ the world will see in us. Well, we take it step by step, declaring basti when things feel too much, but then continuing to stand in all of God's amazing glory, immersing ourselves in God's presence with prayer and Scripture, and allowing the Spirit of the living God to take our hands and guide us towards the future. The call that God has for us. He has called all of us to be in a relationship with Him. So in a sense, when it comes to God and faith, let us take a moment and imagine ourselves in a vision and wondering and looking up and seeing, what is all this about? But I think the most important thing is to recognize that though we may not see clearly yet through the mist of God's grace, we can't deny that it's there all around us, enveloping us in peace, enfolding us in His grace, and empowering us with His love. So my prayer for all of us today and for the weeks going forward and the rest of our lives, I pray that you will be immersed in this Pentecost season and enjoy the vast mysteries of God and the words of Jesus the Christ and the hope that lies in the revelation of truth given by the Holy Spirit. He is the one that teaches. He is the one who brings us all truth. So I pray that maybe we'd be able to move from faith, from Bastille to Magnifico. You know, that Latin and later the Italian verb becomes from the Greek, as I say, Bastille. But it means that we just have to enjoy and look around and enjoy the magnificent creation that God has given us to live in. And then to know that we were made in His image. It's an amazing thing, this thing called life. And if you've never taken time to invite Jesus into your heart, I just pray that you would just open your hands or just stand where you are or just say, Lord, if you're everything this old preacher is telling me about you, then I want to have a relationship with you too. And it's a simple thing. The Holy Spirit don't want to be anywhere where He's not welcomed. So I want to welcome you into my life, Holy Spirit. Come and bless me with my relationship with your Son and with God the Father, and just given me the wisdom that I need through the grace and love of the Holy Spirit to become a disciple of Jesus Christ and to share that love with others for the rest of my days. Go now in peace, in Jesus' name. God loves you, and so do we.